All right, welcome back to the pregame show, talking baseball. No, I'm not Marty Lurie. I'm filling in for Marty today. My name is Bill Lasky, as you all know. And my next guest today is a minor league baseball writer. She is very good at her craft. Let's welcome in Katie Wu. How are you this afternoon, Katie?
Bill, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine today. Just a lot of things going on in baseball as we get close to the trade deadline. And I wanted to ask you how important it is for these teams to make sure they have a 60-man pool that could possibly be traded.
I think that is incredibly important, and not just for the obvious reasons that is, you know, the trade deadline coming up. When people look at the trade deadline this year, the first thing they're going to notice is obviously it's a different date than we're all used to. You know, usually the trade deadline is July 31st. This year it's August 31st. But one thing that is definitely much different in the realm that we haven't seen before, is because we've never had these 60-player pools, is the fact that trades can only be made this deadline if a member is on the 60-player pool. So you're seeing these teams pretty much be a little bit limited in who they're able to trade and what they're looking at. Now, some teams have been able to kind of work around that limitation by trading a player for a person to be named later. Mm-hmm. Because when you do that, you have about 6 months before you have to announce that player. And obviously 6 months from now, there will not be a 60-player pool. So it's kind of just a little bit of negotiation and maneuvering through these new rules. So I guess in the next couple of days, you'll probably see some of these prospects that haven't been on the player pool get added. And it may be because they're potentially being shopped.
And one of the biggest problems, Katie, is in these alternate sites, no scouts. There's nobody really watching what's going on down there because a lot of them are just doing inner squads or defensive drills. What can you tell us about past reports, past scouting reports that a lot of these teams are going to have to go off of?
Exactly, Bill. That's another huge issue with trading in your prospect pool. We all know how limited those resources are. We're not seeing these guys out there, what they're performing. You know, we're not seeing game action. Getting stats alone from an alternate site is a mess, mainly because no one's really keeping track of those things. So that's probably another reason why you might not see a lot of trades that you would in a normal year, is because a lot of these teams are shopping on information where they have to rely on the word of others. They're not able to see from themselves. They're not able to see stats or plays or live action. It's just relying on word of mouth from organization to organization. And in a 60-game season, when you're probably just looking for a short-term rental, you're not looking to make any long moves, you're probably not going to see a lot of teams that are willing to part with the, you know, core members of their organizations or core members of their prospect rankings, because the information that they have to rely on is so limited.
And it's so important that you said that, because literally when you're looking at a starting pitcher, you may get three or four starts out of him. And when you do trade, the salary base is going to be inflated if you do go after a guy like Johnny Cueto. And the other part of it is, how many prospects can you give up for these talented arms? Because most of these teams, when you look at the top tending teams, everybody's looking for pitching. So it's going to be who's going to get there first and how many people are they going to sacrifice to get these rentals. What do you see at the minor league level of some of these guys that could possibly be moved?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head with the pitching. Is, you know, most teams, that's what they're shopping for this season, this trade deadline, I should say, is they're looking for pitching. They're looking for immediate impact. And from the minor league perspective, with so many guys not being able to play, I mean, you saw there was 3 months of the what would have been the normal season where there was no baseball action at all. Some of these guys just, you know, have barely gotten ready yet. You know, they're finally getting into the routine of things, and it's just, for some, too early to shop or too early to really kind of see where they're at. I think from a minor league perspective, it's when people are, or when teams are bringing up their prospects, it's really to keep them in shape. That's why you saw such a majority of teams using their top prospects. I personally don't think you'll see a lot of trades regarding minor leaguers, just because, like I said, there's not a lot of information about them, and they've also haven't had a lot of exposure this season or playing time alone. So it's kind of a big gamble if you're trying to trade for a prospect. And if you're going after a prospect that's relatively established, teams aren't, that specific team is probably not going to be willing to let go of that prospect unless it's a very, very high return.
We're speaking to Katie Wu on the pregame show on KNBR. Two players that just got called to the alternate site is Chris Shaw and Fernando Abad. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts when you saw both of these guys joining Sacramento?
I was honestly very surprised Chris Shaw was not on the alternate site to begin with. just because, you know, he's been up before. He was pretty successful at the AAA level, and I just thought that was someone, given where the Giants were at the start of the season, who they might, you know, think that would have a shot at bettering the team. So the fact that he's just now being added, to me, looks like they're shopping him. But again, I don't know. The optimism in me likes to say that, you know, the Giants are getting through the surge of success, so maybe they want another bat up. They want some versatility. But I believe the reason that both of those guys were added to the alternate training site is because maybe the Giants are looking to make a trade. Look, I don't think you'll find any Giants fan who is complaining over the recent surge of success that San Francisco is bringing, but it has put the front office in a very peculiar position where they could be buyers or they could be sellers. And Farnsworth is once again in a tough situation where he has to figure out which way will this team move.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, Katie. I was surprised Chris Shaw wasn't added into that Sacramento pool, and now he's added in there. And the first thing I thought, just like you, is maybe there is some speculation of teams that want him. A number one pick, East Coast guy from Boston, and he just really couldn't fit in anywhere with the Giants at first base or even in the outfield when they put him in left field. So I was kind of thinking the same way you. Maybe somebody is interested in him. Same thing with Abad. A guy that's got a golden arm, right-hander, and, of course, a lot of teams looking to strengthen their bullpen. So I'm right there on the same page. Maybe that could be a guy that could be included in a trade. Let's go a little further into the minor leagues. No baseball this year. Minor leagues are all shut down. Do you see a possibility of fall baseball coming back to Arizona?
I would think that that's in everyone's best interest from a baseball standpoint. However, given the state of Arizona and given the state of our country in response to the coronavirus, I don't know if that's feasible. Arizona, the Arizona Fall League is maybe the best option because everyone's in one place. And these guys, you know, as we talked about, unless you're on the big league roster, you're not getting your daily reps. You're not getting your routine. You're missing out on very valuable development time that is so critical to these young players, especially, you know, ones that just got their entire minor league season eliminated. So I think from, you know, if you're choosing best case scenario, there's definite interest in an Arizona Fall League or some winter leagues. I just don't know if that's feasible given where we are as a country.
And that precedes me to my next question, spring training next year. How many new players, how many new faces are going to be in these uniforms? How many guys are going to be tested in a month of spring training to try to develop what part of AAA, AA, A ball and rookie league? Where is that going to go? And how many new faces and how many players are going to be out of baseball because there hasn't been any development this year? And so many guys are trying to hold on at the AAA level to get an opportunity, and those guys might be out of baseball. Tell me your thoughts about that.
It's definitely a little overwhelming when you think about it. You know, just looking at the grand scheme of things on how this coronavirus in 2020 has warped the baseball world, I don't think there's an answer for what spring training is going to look like because so many things can change. I will say this is I know that there will be an abundance of minor league players who have had to give up their dreams this year just to make a living, which I think is incredibly sad. And it's just harmful for the sport to lose talent because you never know who's going to be a star and who's going to pan out. Some of the stars in baseball have never even been a top-rated prospect. I think that's the beauty of the game is you never know who's going to make it. You also kind of really don't know what spring training is going to look like in 2021 anyway. I mean, I personally, the only way I get through the day is imagining that spring training is, you know, relatively normal. Maybe we don't have fans, but we can kind of, you know, build spring training in Arizona and Florida the way that we've seen years similar. I don't know how that's going to affect the players, though. I mean, you were spot on. They have, what, 6 weeks to prove that, you know, they can play here or there, or they need to be in the sport, what they need to work on. It's a mess, and I feel for everyone involved from a player perspective, from a coach perspective, from a front office perspective. There's just no right way to do it because we've just never experienced this kind of a dilemma before.
And one of the big things, Katie, is you're always going to miss a development player. He might have 2 weeks of terrible at bats or 2 weeks can't get anybody out, and you let him go and another club picks him up and sure enough he'll kick in. It is so difficult to judge talent in such a short window. And so, you know, I want to kind of go into this year a little bit more. Let's talk about some of the players that have come from the minor leagues that have made an adjustment in a 60-game schedule. Tell me some of your guys that you could think of maybe could be the rookie of the year this year.
Sure, Bill. I mean, the bright side to 2020 is that we have seen, you know, a bunch of guys come up, make the best out of the situation, and run with it. I think from a National League perspective, the one that stands out to me as a clear front runner for Rookie of the Year is the Padres' Jake Cronenworth. He's a two-way player, although he has not pitched for the Padres yet this season. He can play pretty much any infield position. They've seen him at first. They've seen him at second. He's filled in quite nicely with the various injuries that the pretty hot San Diego Padres have been dealing with. But what's really stood out about Jake Cronenworth to me is the fact that he's never really fazed by anything. This is a guy that, you know, was traded to the Padres over the offseason. He was a top 30 prospect from Tampa Bay, where he came from, and then was able to crack the Padres' top 30 as well. Our site, minorleaguebaseball.com, has the Padres and the Rays as the top two farm systems in baseball. So this is not a guy that wasn't projected to be great, you know, or at least decent. But he has absolutely run away with this opportunity. I mean, he's hitting almost 350. He has a .988 OPS. He's just like a core member of this Padres team that is suddenly really good and one of the more exciting teams in baseball. And none of that has mattered. He's kept an even composure. He's been really exciting to watch. That's my clear front runner for Rookie of the Year. Obviously, things can happen with another half of the season coming up. I think the Dodgers' Dustin May should get some consideration there as well. But for me, from the National League perspective, it's Jake Cronenworth all the way. The American League is a little more bunched up. There's no clear front runner for me. There's a bunch of guys that come to mind. Seattle's Kyle Lewis. He made the jump last year straight to the big leagues from AA. He's been really fun to watch. Chicago White Sox, Luis Robert, he's the number three prospect in baseball. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of the faces of the White Sox, who are also, much like the Padres, kind of rising up and becoming really exciting. Giants fans saw Oakland's Jesus Luzardo, maybe one of his, not his greatest start, but there's definitely things to be excited about him. And but one guy that I really am interested in the American League is a reliever. And as you know, Bill, it is hard to garner kind of any of attention as a reliever. But Cleveland's James Karinchak has a 0.54 ERA and a 53% strikeout rate.
Wow.
He is striking out over half the batters that he sees. And for me, if I had to pick one of those four, I would lean to James. He's been really fun to watch. Anytime that you see him warming up in the bullpen, for me personally, I turn the Indians game on and I watch, because he's just carving hitters up in a way that's really, really interesting to see.
And I tell you what's exciting when you see these players, and you've mentioned some great players, and Roberts, of course, Lewis in Seattle, that was a name. I saw Luciano last year in Vegas. I cover the River Cats, and he was dynamite, and you're absolutely right. Probably his worst start came against the Giants, because he's been electric. And you go into the National League, Dustin May, I mean, coming up when the injury happened, and he's put some zeros on the board for the Dodgers. But I'm going to go back to your guy, Cronenworth. That guy can play. I've watched him immensely this year, and he doesn't act like a rookie. He comes up in certain situations and understands what he has to do. When you see players like this, and you see them all the time coming from the minor leagues to the big leagues, what do you think the biggest thing they have to adapt to?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's different for everybody, but I think the biggest thing that these young guys have to adapt to is the entire change of the environment. You know, minor league baseball, as you know, Bill, is very relaxed, family friendly. You know, we're here to play. We're here to develop and to be great. But it's also just kind of a preview to what they're going to see when these guys get to the big leagues. It's a brand new world, and they have to adjust to a very strict routine and being in the clubhouse with established veterans and, you know, having some sort of camaraderie with this team. It's a lot of different emotions all at once, and they're pretty much expected to get it, because if they don't get it, there's 10 more guys that can come take their place. So I think maybe it's more of a mental thing. I'm not quite sure, as I'm sure it differs for everybody, but just what I've seen, the rookies that have been able to succeed this year and to really, you know, dive in and immerse themselves in the baseball world have been ones that have kept a calm composure and don't act like rookies, if that makes sense.
No, it does, because I think one of the biggest things is trying to fit in. And as a rookie, sometimes it's less to say anything and just be there and produce on the field. And then you start welcoming in with all the veterans and things like that. And this year, of course, with the 60-game schedule, rookies are getting tested in all different ways. They're getting opportunities, short opportunities, and some of them are making it and some of them aren't. You're seeing guys DFA'd all the time. And that's proceeding to my last question here, what happens to some of these players, especially, you know, I'll throw a Derek Rodriguez out there. He was, you know, such a great pitcher a couple of years ago, and he's just fallen. He can't get anybody out right now. His stuff is average. What happens to some of these players when they go back into the pool of players for next spring training? Because these guys are Major League Baseball pitchers and players, and they get released, and opportunities come, and, you know, some of them never come. What happens to most of these guys?
Well, I think you obviously know, Bill, that baseball and pitching in particular is relentless. You know, you can be lights out for a year and then never get your feel again. And it is sad, especially in Derek Rodriguez's case, where Giants fans have seen, you know, how good he can be and the stuff that he can possess, and he has not really been able to equip that since. I guess in all of the strangeness that is 2020, these guys just have to go back to the drawing board and figure something out. And, you know, pitching in general is very hard to kind of be, I'm not sure the right word here, is kind of just be consistent, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hardest thing for these pitchers, especially in a year that has been nothing but consistent, is to find that routine and reestablish themselves. And, you know, maybe Derek Rodriguez felt a little bit of pressure. Maybe these guys that have been DFA'd or are going to be DFA'd, especially in such a short season, feel the pressure, and it's even harder to perform that way. It makes 2021 even more important for these guys, which I'm sure is the last thing they need, is that added stress of having to perform. But sadly, that's just where we are as a sport right now, is, you know, we're just kind of all winging it.
It is, Katie, and the same thing with, you know, beat writers like yourself trying to pull stories up from minor league baseball, as well as guys that can't travel with teams. It's just been a difficult year, but we're getting down to crunch time here with the trade deadline coming up Monday. Last question for you. What do you think is going to happen? What team do you think is going to make the drastic move in picking up pitchers or picking up a couple players in your mind? Who do you think needs it the most?
In my mind, I'm going to go with the A's. I think the A's are in a very unique situation right now. They are one of, if not the best teams in baseball. You saw them make a trade. They swapped infielder Franklin Barreto for Tommy La Stella from the Angels yesterday. I think if they make one more trade, maybe a starter, or the White Sox would be another one. So I'm stuck between the A's and the White Sox for maybe the biggest move. I think those are the two teams that could really benefit from it.
Katie Wu, thank you so much for jumping on with me this afternoon. It's always great knowledge that you present for Minor League Baseball as well as today. I put you on a hot seat for a couple of those questions of big leagues, but you handled it well, Katie, and I appreciate your time. And you have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you so much, Bill. Anytime.
Excellent. That was Katie Wu. She handles all of the Minor League Baseball for The Athletic. And we're going to be right back on KNBR, the sports leader.